stern face on, and see if you can recreate what the referee is doing. So you've got to sort of put a hand down by your side and put two fingers up in the air. He's giving a free kick. So do it for me. Yeah, this is where you sort of do what I ask. Yeah, that's perfect. Okay. And that tends to be what the referees have been doing, is giving away lots of free kicks. And I don't know if you've watched Ronaldo, but Ronaldo got kicked out of the World Cup very early with his team because he left Man United. And what he tended to do was to fold his arms and to be a grump. So fold your arms for me and do a Ronaldo. That's it. Perfect. Now, you can smile you can smile a bit because think of all the money he's earning, but keep your arms folded. And we're going to learn all what you learned in your holiday Bible club by examining the nine things that a referee must have for a football match to take place. Now, at the very start of your holiday Bible club, you learned that in the beginning, and this is in the very first line of the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It was God that started it all off. Now, as a scientist, this is one of, not my only, but one of my favorite verses in the Bible to say that it was God that made us and God that made everything. How does a football match start? What does a referee need to start a football match? Someone shouted out to me, I don't really need, we're not in school. Yes, he needs one of these. That woke you up. So you were just dozing off, weren't you? You were just dozing off. And you can expect plenty more of that if you continue to doze off like that. So to start a football match, the referee needs his whistle. So that's the first thing a referee needs. And what you learned, which I think was great to learn at the very start, was it was God that started the earth off. First of all, he made the heavens and the earth. And then, on the second day, and the third day, and the fourth day, he made other things. But on the sixth day, he made something special. Who can remember what God made on the sixth day? You remember? A man called Adam, and a woman called Eve. That's right. And the book of Genesis says that he made man and woman, mankind, something different. So he made them different from the animals and the plants in that they were made in the image of God. God created mankind in his own image. He made them very special to be in a very special relationship with God. Now, go back to our football match. Just before he blows the whistle, not do it again, just let you sleep. Just before he blows the match, we have to decide who gets to kick off. What does the referee do to decide who gets to kick the game off? Who gets the ball first? I've really cut you out on this one, have I? Okay, good, I'm glad I have. So what he uses is, he uses a coin. And he flicks a coin up in the air, and you have to call heads or tails, and the person who gets it right gets to choose to kick the ball off first or not. That's what we call chance. In other words, if we flick the coin 100 times, 50 times we'll get heads, and 50 times we'll get tails. And lots of people think that man and woman came into the world by chance. Just over millions of years, we just happened by chance to come about. Small little changes in animals turned into man. And I want to say, that's not what the Bible teaches us. But the Bible teaches us that on the sixth day, God made man and woman separate from the animals and to be in a special relationship. He made Adam and Eve to be in a special relationship. But that special relationship was on one condition. He gave one rule that Adam and Eve had to follow. Anyone remember what that rule was? They were not to do something. You covered this, didn't you? I think you covered this. Yeah? Hoping you did. All very shy, are we? Okay. Shyness is a condition that seems to be spreading. So just get your fingers out for me and just shake them out. Shake the shyness out. That's it. That's good. I'm glad to see the mums and dads are just sitting looking at me going, who is this guy? How does Peter know him? That's a long story. Now, let's try that again, okay? Because I think you do know the answer. There was one rule that God said you are not to do something to Adam and Eve. See, I knew somebody would know it. What was it? Not to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge. Give her a clap. You've done very well. You see, it's really not that hard, our questions today. So God gave a warning, a yellow card, which is a warning to a player doing wrong. And he said, you're free to eat of any tree in the garden. Complete freedom, apart from one thing. You must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When you eat of it, there would be a consequence, and you'd certainly die. So, God made man and woman special, but he set one condition. And what happened? Did they obey God's rule, or did they disobey God's rule? They didn't. They disobeyed God's rule. That's right. And what was the consequence, or what happened to Adam and Eve for disobeying God's rule? Yeah. They were sent out of the garden, that's right. They were sent out of the garden. They were given a red card. They were sent out of the game. So the referee needs to have a whistle, because it reminds us that God started the world and made it. He needs to have a coin to remind us that we didn't come about by chance, but that God made Adam and Eve special. He needs to have a yellow card because there was a warning, there were some rules put in place, and there was a red card because there's some punishment for disobeying God's rules. And we saw then that they were put out of the garden, and then that later on in the book of Genesis, a few chapters later, that in fact there were lots of people around the world beginning to disobey God. In fact, there were so many people disobeying God that he decided to send what to cover the earth? What was he going to send? A flood to cover the earth. And what a little picture of Noah's Ark. So the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become. Imagine that. Imagine making something like the earth and then putting a special Adam and Eve in and having a special relationship with these people, and it being so, becoming so wicked that you would have to finish it all off. But there was one person that was different, and that was Noah. Why was Noah different from everybody else in the world? That's a complicated question. Noah was different because he was, the Bible says, righteous. In other words, that he wasn't going out of his way to disobey God, but that he tried to follow God's rules, tried to keep that friendship with God. The referee has his notebook and pen. What does a referee write in a notebook and pen? I don't know if your name. I'm looking around here, I'm guessing there's a few people's names have been in a referee's notebooks over the years. Certainly mine has been once or twice. And do we know what a referee writes in a notebook? Well, he writes two things. First of all, he writes the goals. So he knows how many goals have gone in. And then he writes the cards. Who gets yellow cards? Who gets red cards? So we know who's on a yellow card. And what was notable about Noah was that he was different. God had noted that Noah was different. He found, what the Bible says, found favor in the eyes of the Lord. He was different. And that is quite something to say that despite all these wicked people around the world, that there was one man who stood out. Have you ever stood out in your school? Have people ever said about you, they're a bit different? Not bad different, not bold different, but good different. Well, that's a little challenge for us all, I think. And later on then, we see that throughout the rest of the book of the Old Testament, we see that lots of more people disobeyed and that they were punished for disobeying. And so, right at the start of the New Testament, another great event happened. It wasn't going to be a flood, because God promised not to send a flood again, but he sent something else. What did he send this time? Right at the start of the New Testament, in the books of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, he sent his... We sent his son, Jesus. Because, you see, Noah's Ark would only rescue Noah and his family from the flood that time. But lots of people began to disobey after that. And so he sent his son. And so for 33 years, imagine this, God's son came down to this earth where people were disobeying God's rule, sent by God for a special mission. Just like the Ark was on a special mission to rescue Noah and his family from the great flood, Jesus was sent to rescue you and me and lots of people at the time from the wrong things we've done, from the punishment. I think you learned the term savior. Didn't you learn that term? Rescuer. We're going to come to that in a second. And so Jesus was given a very short time, and the referee has to have two watches, two very special watches, to keep track of the time of the game. And in a very short time on earth, in 33 years, Jesus remade history. In fact, we started counting differently in our years. We started counting from zero from the year Jesus came. That's the effect he had on history. Now, the last thing a referee must do at the very end of the game is to pick up the football. That's correct. That's the very last task, and so he must have the football with him when he brings it out, and the very last thing a referee must do is to pick up that football. Do you know, there was a guy called Colonel James Irwin who was an astronaut. He was the eighth man to walk on the moon, and he was a Christian. And when he was asked about what it was like to set off in a space rocket into space, he said, well, he looked back as he started to ascend into space, he looked back and it was like the earth was hanging in space like a football. And he said it was quite something to think that Jesus was sent to that little football hanging in space to rescue you and me. Of all the little planets and around the Earth was something special, and that's because it had special people on it. And in the New Testament, in the book of 1 John, we see this verse, which was, the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And this is the verse, I know it's different from your memory verse, but we're going to say it together to see if we can get this to stick in our heads, okay? So you're going to say it with me. We're going to say, first of all, we're going to say 1 John chapter 4, verse 14, and then we'll read the words, okay? 1 and 2. 1 John chapter 4, verse 14. The Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. I'm going to see if we can say it quietly. So see if you can whisper it with me, okay? Just to not wake the guys up here. We woke up earlier. 1 and 2. 1 John chapter 4, verse 14. The Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Very well done. Now, just in case we put some people to sleep with our lullaby words, we'll say it as loud as we can. Without shouting, we'll just say it as loud as we can. 1 and 2. So we started in the very beginning with God making the earth, and then making a very special man and woman, Adam and Eve, and entering a very special friendship with them. And that special friendship didn't go so well, but that Jesus came, was sent to be the Savior of the world. That means a rescuer. Once upon a time, when I was quite a few stone lighter, I was a lifeguard. Imagine that. Red shorts, down on the beach sort of thing. And not quite in a swimming pool without red shorts. And people, when they used to get in trouble in the water, they used to yell out and put their hand out for rescuing. So they'd yell out and say, save me. And I remember one particular girl who jumped into the deep end and hadn't really thought it through and couldn't actually swim. And she bobbed down and came back up again, and this hand came out of the water. And I was able to grab the hand and pull her out of the water and rescue her. And it always taught me that when we learn about Jesus coming to rescue us, that there were two people involved. You see, there needs to be a rescuer, someone who can stand at the side and pull us out or to save us from that punishment. But there needs to be someone to be rescued, and someone who needs to be rescued. And the Bible teaches us that the way we enter into this special relationship or friendship with Jesus again is by saying sorry to Jesus and asking him to be our friend. And so we have to take a step. So Jesus took the first step by coming to earth, and it's our responsibility to take the second step and by saying sorry to him and asking him to renew that friendship with him again. So we won't just become Christians just because we go to church, or we won't just become Christians because we dress in yellow Diodoro shoes. We won't just become Christians because we try to do nice things. But the only way we can become a Christian is to ask Jesus to forgive our sins because he died on the cross. So I was really glad to be asked to come and review and think about what you'd learned in your holiday Bible club. Think about how God made the earth. And even though we'd done wrong, it all leads up to Christ coming so we can have our sins forgiven if we ask him. Right, let's fold our arms again and we'll just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Bible. Thank you that it teaches us all the important truths that we need to know. That you made us, that you loved us, and that you died for us, and that we can be forgiven if we ask. Thank you for the Holiday Bible Club and all that we learned, and help us to remember those lessons for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.